Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Mac and T Show podcast. Here are your hosts, Brian McKay and T. Davis.
This is the Mac and T Show. This is the Mac and T Show. We talk movies and TV shows, sports and world news, coasting like on a world cruise. Hosted by Brian McKay and T. Davis. Yeah, you can't tame us. We're going to the top, we're becoming famous.
What time is it?
It's time for the Mac and T Show.
What time is it?
I said it's time for the Mac and T Show.
Welcome back to the Mac and T Show podcast. Oh man, it's been a couple of weeks. Yeah, all I can say about that, it's been a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Oh man,
I've been under the weather.
Yeah, I'm gonna get into more of that on the chanting and writing segment.
Okay.
So I don't want to give away too much, but yeah. Just before we get started too good, I wanted to kick it off with there was a couple of championships handed out while we were away. WNBA, the Los Angeles Sparks.
Took
the championship, beating the Minnesota Lynx. It was nice to see on the 20th anniversary of the league, one of the original 8 teams win the championship. So that was pretty cool. Candace Parker gets her first title as a WNBA player. There's something the WNBA is missing. I don't know what it is. I think maybe they should consider doing the league during a different time. I don't know if the summer.
Yeah, I was about to say, in the summer, it's a time when people are out and about. They're not necessarily trying to be indoors watching anything. They're on vacations, just doing other things besides sitting around and pretty much waiting for football to come back.
Right, and I mean, I understand when they started it, why they did it in the summer. I understood all that, but I just think at some point, they might need to consider, you know, doing it during actual basketball time. You know, in people's mindset. People's mindset that basketball time is during the winter. And, you know, right now, you can smell the hardwood and the rubber of the basketball bouncing. You know. And
so, yeah, they might need to reconsider and then just ante up.
Right.
But then some of them places going to struggle to get, like, most people will love their college teams maybe more than going to the game, so I don't know.
It's a slippery slope, you know, and that's for people that's higher up than me to decide, so I'm just going to, you know, keep my mouth shut. But as far as other championships, Major League Baseball, the Cubbies won the Major League Baseball Championship World Series a couple of nights ago.
Won't he do it? You may have to wait, but he'll do it.
108 years.
You might have to wait, but he'll do it.
I mean, interesting fact that I posted on Twitter. I kind of stole it from somebody else, but, you know, that's what happens. The NFL, the NBA, NHL, and college basketball, none of them were even in existence last time the Cubs won the championship.
Oh, have mercy.
And the college football champion at that time was the University of Penn. So it's been quite a while. 1908. 108 years. Yeah, the curse of the Billy Goat has been lifted. And now the Cleveland Indians are the ones with the longest losing streak.
Well, somebody was going to lead the game with it. So.
Yeah. So. Yeah, let's jump on into a little chanting and ranting, if we could. And mine has to do with the healthcare system.
Oh, Lord.
As I'm sure, you know, our loyal listeners have noticed, we've been off the air for a couple of weeks. I have been dealing with some more health issues. And I'm not blaming anyone, you know, for those problems. Those problems come from me having Crohn's disease and all that good stuff, having those kind of issues. But my gripe and my complaint here today have to do with the fact that they make me kind of side with Donald Trump a little bit on certain issues. That's what makes me mad. I can actually get down with a couple of things that he says. Not everything that he says, let me be very clear. Not everything that man says, but I can actually be down with a couple of things as far as his comments about the Obamacare. Because I can be one that can attest to the fact that Obamacare has been a failure for many people, and me included. And I call it Obama, not saying anything against our president. I'm just saying, you know, it's his name on it, so that's what I call it. The Obamacare has been a complete mess. I'm on Obamacare because technically right now I'm unemployed, so I have to be on my own health care. I'm having to pay full price for, you know, surgical procedures that I sorely need because my insurance company will not help out at all because I have not met my deductible. And you know, and many people that listen who know me well know that I have had many issues throughout this entire calendar year, health-wise, many things that I've had to get taken care of in hospitals and things like that nature. And the fact that I am nowhere near close to finishing out my deductible, and here we are almost in December, almost at the end of the year, have not even come close to my deductible.
What is it?
It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous amount that no one person can meet.
I'm saying, what's the deductible? Everybody's deductible is about to go up because...
Right. That's the other thing that bothers
me. Ours is about to double, so wherever you are, it's going to double this year, whenever your little thing starts.
Yeah, that's the other thing that is struggling with me as far as our healthcare system. It's already outrageous. Our deductibles are, and our premiums, and now they're about to go, both of those are about to go up. I mean, they're about to make it where people can't afford it. I mean, the whole purpose of Obamacare will be affordable care, and it's a struggle. And yeah, so right now I'm, you know, having to. Thank God I was able to talk the hospital into letting me make a few payments. They were going to make me pay outright because of that my insurance would not pay for anything. So they were going to try and make me pay for everything up front. So that was a struggle even the day before the surgery. I wasn't even sure I was going to be able to get the surgery because they were holding steadfast to that. So thank God we were able to talk them down off of that ledge. But yeah, our healthcare system is a mess. I'm not sure that Donald Trump is the one to fix that, and you know, Hillary Clinton. I don't know, but it's a mess.
My thing with the Affordable Care Act is, I mean, if you didn't have this, what would you be on? So if this didn't even exist, what would you have? What, Medicare, Medicaid?
I don't know.
I don't even know what they can do. I do know that...
That was my other point I was going to make. I don't know what can be done. Yeah.
This whole raising of premium and deductibles is going to make... Like, people that have insurance won't go to the doctor because, like, I mean, if you're getting your wellness checks, I suspect they'll still be free, that once-a-year exams and stuff that we get, but I don't even know that to be the truth since everything has changed. But it's going to make people that have insurance not go. Right. And men already are like that. Men already don't go. So all they need is another reason.
And what did I text you during all this? I text you at one point, I said, it's cheaper for me to die.
Oh, Lord. And then, I'm just crazy over there. And then, to make it even triple worse, if you don't get insurance, because you may not be able to afford it still, even with this Affordable Care, because these people still be having outrageous prices for this insurance that's under that Affordable Care Act.
Right.
They're going to penalize you. Yeah. Like, and where is this money going that you're penalizing these people with? That's another thing I want to know. Well, who has this money going? Right. It ain't going in education. And then clearly they're going back into the healthcare situation because everything is being jacked up. And that's just the insurance companies saying, well, if they're going to make us take people that's already sick and all this other stuff, then we just going to jack up our prices.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know. I think Tuesday we in for a mess either way. Whatever happens Tuesday, I don't know that what happens Tuesday is going to change anything healthcare-wise. I'm not real sure that we will even have a country in 4 years.
Honestly, this is the thing. So while I do go off about Trump and Hillary or whatever, mm-hmm. really, America is not, that's the reason we have checks and balances, right? So the House and Senate, like, yes, if we don't want our president out saying outrageous things and making, we already should be embarrassed, period, but then you don't want a liar and people that's doing illegal stuff and just keep trying to cover and hide and duck and shade and do all that. It's just going to be what it is, and that's why I'm glad I'm on the lower side and I ain't really got to worry about it too much. The 1% going to keep making all their money. The rest of us still going to have to just grind and pray. Right.
Yes.
And pray, grind, grind, and pray. Well, my friend and chant, Lord, I got so much.
Oh, boy. Let's hear it.
First of all, let me just say this. Let me say this. If you haven't seen these Bleacher Report cartoons, they are hilarious. So please.
Yes.
Just the last couple ones, I thought I was going to just roll out of this office laughing. So, Mr. Ben Simmons, who was not even playing in the NBA, please don't come out telling us about how the NCAA is garbage and all, whatever else you think. Because, one, you didn't want to get an education. You knew you didn't want to get an education. You did not have to go to a university. You could have went to Australia somewhere and played professionally for 1 year and then went to the NBA. Yep. So don't come riding in on your little bitty horse and, oh, the NCAA sucks, they don't do anything. Who hasn't been saying that for years? If you had done your homework, you wouldn't have never gone to college. You would have went to pros.
Right.
And then came and played in the NBA. If you can play, they're going to find you. So if you had been in Australia or Auburn, they would have found you. So please, get off your high horse.
Yeah, I mean, he was, even while he was in college, there was talk of him not going to class, and, I mean, he knew what he was there for that 1 year, but he could have spent that 1 year, like you said, overseas. I mean, many people have done it, and it's not uncommon now in this one-and-done era that people go overseas for a year, and then all of a sudden they end the draft the next year.
I mean, and that's really, that's what the NBA should push. If y'all gonna leave this 1 year thing on here, say, look, go and stop wasting college's time and not necessarily money, but I mean, people have to get, I'm not even an academic advisor, but even if they know you are one and done, they still have to go through all the work for the NCAA saying that you're on the right track, that you did whatever for that first year.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so you don't even want to be there. I mean, so they're wasting their time.
His comments are just invalid to me because of the fact that he did absolutely nothing college-wise while he was in college but play basketball. I mean, his comments in a way, as soon as the season was over with, he didn't even go back to school. He moved out to Phoenix.
Why did you go down this period, giving these people hope for no reason?
Yeah.
Then we see why he didn't pick a Mike Krzyzewski or a Kentucky. Because I think even though the guy at Kentucky and Duke, when they take those one and dones, they still require them. If your teammates got to go to class, you got to go to class. Like, that's just a requirement.
Right.
So, go sit down somewhere.
Yeah. I mean, if somebody else had said this, I might would have listened. I glossed right over it when I saw who it was speaking. I mean, so, you know, but speaking of the NBA, oh, no, you still have some more chanting to do.
Yes, I need to chant a little more.
Go ahead.
NFL, y'all gonna have to do something because y'all losing people. Y'all probably know this better than I do. Football is boring. I'm not really interested in seeing people get killed. But some of this ticky-tack stuff y'all calling, and it's bleeding over into college too. Because some of these calls, and I'll just be like, Are we playing football? Y'all might need to go to touch football or flag football or something, because you can't hardly do anything now, and it's a contact sport. And part of the reason people watch it is so somebody get the wood laid on.
Yeah.
Like, you can't touch anybody, and you gotta... I mean, if I'm coming full speed at you, and then all of a sudden the pass high, I didn't know the pass was going to be too high. Now, I can't just stop all my momentum and not cram into you. And I know it's for safety reasons, but still, come on, man. And officials, of all the chanting that I want to do, officials need to be fined across the board. No, if you make some blatant calls, you should be fined. If I see it on TV live when it's happening,
right,
and you're there and that's all you're supposed to be looking at, how is it that you're not fined for that? Don't come out and tell us, oh, like the NBA does, oh, well, they need to be fined. You fine these players for doing stuff. They need to be fined. You fine coaches for complaining about them. We all should have something to lose. So maybe we won't be missing calls or showing favorites or whatever that's happening.
Right. Yeah. And just to piggyback off of that, the celebration penalties are getting ridiculous.
And that's part of it. Like, okay, I don't want you acting a plum fool.
Right.
But doing a little dance, or the guy to do his little arrow thing, and he wasn't doing it for violence. He was doing it because of a biblical scripture. And now he modified it because he don't want to get a fine, but you can't eat. I mean, let them keep it on. Ain't nobody going to want to watch football, because part of the watching T.O. them was like to see what they was going to act a fool when they scored.
Right. Did you see the Seahawks and the Saints game this past weekend?
I did.
Did you see when Earl Thomas picked up Mark Ingram's fumble, ran it in for a touchdown, he hugged the referee and got a penalty?
Oh, I didn't see the hug. I don't know where I was. I did watch the game, but right. I didn't see the hug.
Well, it was real early in the game, but he hugs him. And as he's hugging the referee is smiling. The referee is enjoying, the whole little moment. And it wasn't anything malicious. It was just a nice little embrace, and you know, he moved on about his business. And as the referee is smiling, he is reaching in his pocket and yanks the flag out. And I was like, man.
See, that's just
that's unnecessary.
No, not necessary at all. And I know why I didn't see it, because what happened was that Redskin game went into overtime because the dumb kicker missed field goal.
Oh, yeah.
And so we kept watching that. And when we got to that game, that had happened then already.
Okay. Yeah. Well. Yeah.
So on to the NBA. I'm going to start this last little bit of a chant that okay. we can merge over.
Go ahead.
This Durant Westbrook mess is a mess. And if y'all going to act like y'all arch rivals, just say it and stop lying, saying you like the way he play, y'all friends, whatever, just stop the lies. Apparently y'all don't like each other. And either Durant just ain't man enough to say, I didn't like it there, and that's why I left, and stop all that, oh, you thought it was better opportunities or whatever. Just say whatever it is. You didn't speak to any of your little teammates, which is surprising, I guess. Like, nobody on the team you can speak to? Like, usually people tell you don't burn your bridges. If Carol Ross said that once, she said it 1,000 times.
Yeah.
So, it's not one person over there that you can speak to. We knew you weren't going to say nothing to Westbrook. Like, that was a given. And we knew he wasn't going to say anything to you. But the other guys? Okay.
Yeah. That's where I was going to start with the NBA. Just leading up to last night's game, it's been, I feel like Russell Westbrook has handled it the best out of the two. And I think Kevin Durant's talking and the things that he's saying is clearly him just not thinking of how it's going to come out and how it's going to look to Westbrook and how it's going to be brought back to him. But he's just
messy. That's what he is. Yeah. He's messy.
And he showed that last night. But you know what? The Warriors, 10 minutes into that game, I said, oh, this is going to be a nice little game. It's going to be a good one. The first 10 minutes, the score was like 30. It's real close. It was like 1 or 2 point game. I said, oh, this is going to be pretty good. The last 2 minutes of the first quarter and the entire second quarter We finally saw the Warriors that everybody has been fearing that was going to come this year. They finally showed themselves. And, I mean, they were knocking down shot after shot after shot.
But, I mean, what were they doing on defense? Because the thing is, if you can't defend...
Right, and here's the
thing. And get stops and rebounds.
They didn't have to. Oklahoma City beat themselves. On the offensive end, Oklahoma City was fumbling around. I mean, they looked like a team that was pressing. Who won, you know, obviously, they wanted that game because of the reasons having Kevin Durant over there. They looked like a team who was really pressing. They it wasn't necessarily that they were missing shots, but they couldn't even pass the ball to each other. Without it, going through each other's hands. And
so that was out of sync.
Yeah, it was bad. Starting about 2 minutes left in the first quarter, on through the second quarter, and I watched very little of the second half because, I mean, they started the second half and I was already sleepy. And it was more of the same in the second half. I mean, Kevin Durant, I think, had 29 points in the second quarter alone by himself. I think that's what the total was. Yeah, and it was like a 45-12 run going into halftime. It was a mess, and I mean they had a couple of moments where, Russell Westbrook blocked his shot, blocked Durant's shot, and a couple plays later Durant got him back, and of course as he gets him back, Draymond Green hollers out, some not safe for work language, and gets technical, celebrating. So you could tell there was some animosity there, but the game was so out of hand that nothing really came of it.
Well, Draymond Green, he's starting to be on I don't like list.
He been on that list for me.
As a player, I don't know him as a person.
Right.
But some of the foolishness, you can be passionate and not all this stuff that you do.
Yeah.
And so I just want to say, for the rest of the league, while, everybody is thinking that it's going to be Golden State and Cleveland, not so fast. It's some nice teams out here.
Oh, yeah.
And when you get into these seven-game series, we already don't see anything can happen.
Yeah, I mean,
I think the league going to be fun to watch this season.
Just the way the season has started alone. Yeah, the Warriors, showed what they can do when they're clicking. Last night, they showed how deadly they can be offensively. But, I mean, they have not been great to start the year. And their defensive woes, like you mentioned, they have showed themselves. I mean, they're missing Andrew Bogut, even though I'm sure they didn't think they would. They're missing him. He was a nice rim protector. Harrison Barnes was a nice piece that they're missing. He was one that would come in and do his role off the bench and sometimes would be a starter, but he played his role. They're missing that. So it's going to be a struggle for them. They're going to have those nights where, they're not hitting. And
we saw what happened with San Antonio.
Yes.
And Boston last night gave Cleveland all they wanted, and they didn't even have Horford and another guy that would probably be starting.
Yeah.
So, let's hold off on just throwing them in the championship now, because we got less than 80 games now, but we already seen injuries, and some people could get hurt there, and they swing a lot of things.
Yeah,
but I'm happy the Bulls are looking better.
Yes.
The Lakers are looking better.
Yeah,
Houston should be fun to watch.
Portland is going to be a nice little team. I really like Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum and what they have. They got a couple of nice pieces go along with them. Houston, like you said, I think D'Antoni is going to be good for them. And the way he likes to run his offense is going to be really nice. The Lakers, they got the rebuild is off to a good start.
Right. Are they looking better already? Not standing and looking at Kobe all the time.
Yeah, and like you said, the Bulls. My Bulls are off to the best start since the 96-97 season. But we're not going to speak too much on that. It's early, and I'm not going to get too excited. But I do like what I see.
I think it's going to be fun. I think it's going to be fun with Chicago and Boston and Toronto, so it just don't be a runaway in the East. And I really, honestly, and truly think that The NBA, two things. They should consider doing what the WNBA did, because I think your best team should be playing for the championship, whether they're in the same conference or not.
I don't think you should be penalized
because you just happen to be in the same conference as the other best team in the country.
Right. Yeah.
They also need to consider raising the goal.
You have been an advocate for this for years, yes.
First, if you watch the game, which we'll talk about the Ole Miss game, like these big guys, it's almost like they're playing on, if me and you are playing on an 8-foot goal. I mean, they are hardly having to do anything. Like, I don't even know how they miss layups, Brian. I really don't, because they are so close to the rim. Last night, one of the guys, like, they are so close to the rim for the most part. And raising the goal 10 and a half, not 11, just 10 and a half.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we've all seen people do layup dunks, like things that would normally be layups. For Durant, LeBron, most of these guys, it's a dunk because they are so big. And raising the goal a half inch is not going to make them not be able to dunk. Because now everybody can dunk.
Right.
And these 7-footers be tiptoeing and dunk. No, they do.
I know.
And you got people being, oh, it's going to affect their shot. It's not. If I'm 5'10", it can shoot on a 10-foot goal. If you're a 6'3 or plus, you can shoot on a 10-5 goal, and it's not going to affect your shot.
Right. Yeah. I'm going to let you talk about the Ole Miss game last night. But before we get into that, I just want to speak one more thing about the NBA. A couple of weeks ago, there was a poll that came out with sports writers about the player that you would most want. They do this every year. The player you most want to start a team with. In the league, Karl Anthony Towns was the leading vote getter by a lot in that poll. And I mean, that's over LeBron, Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, Anthony Davis, who was the leading vote getter in this poll a couple of years ago. Anthony Davis was. I mean, obviously injuries have, you know, kind of derailed his momentum a little bit. But he's another player. If he had any pieces with him, he could contend for a championship. But, you know, he's doing great just by himself. I mean, he's out there averaging, you know, 50 points a game, and his team is 0-0 whatever at this point. So, but yeah, Karl Anthony Towns of the Minnesota Timberwolves, I'm not sure I agree. I mean, I think his talent, yeah, he's got some talent. But if I was going to start a team, I don't know that he would be my first choice.
I can't start my team with a center. Unless it's somebody like Anthony Davis that can get out on the wing and do multiple things.
Right.
I mean, Towns can do multiple things, right. But I can't start my team with him.
Not in today's NBA. I just can't do it. But yeah.
So I don't know what he's doing that's so special, but I ain't starting my team with him. Y'all can have him. Good. That give me whoever I want to fit.
Right.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. So let's hear your critique of last night's game at the Pavilion.
So I just want to say that Ole Miss will be the same Ole Miss. They will be fundamentally solid. They will defend. They will struggle because they don't have a post presence. And they'll just hope that their guards can hit shots. They looked the exact same. Like, it was like, yep, this is Andy's team. Like, they typical. Defend, run sets. They don't have that guard that just like Moody or before him, what the little guard from Florida was. The little skinny guard.
Henderson?
No, not Henderson. Before Henderson.
Oh, you talking golly, what is his name? Chris Warren?
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's always a Chris Warren, a Henderson, a Moody. I didn't see that person last night, so they'll be more team-oriented, I believe. But they'll still just be fundamentally sound, knock down most shots, open shots. They did shoot the ball, you know, fairly well. But we are talking about they played against Morehouse, who I think was a well-coached team. I knew that it would be a blowout when I left at the half and they were close because I was like, they just going to wear y'all down because y'all small. You don't have the manpower. They just going to keep serving, and then you're just going to be tired. Because they started to get tired. You start to see the guards missing jump shots and, like, airballing them. So I'm like, oh, they tired. They ain't going to make it through no whole game. But I thought for a second that I was in Indiana Hoosiers because I was so proud on one level because the suits fit. Everybody's clothes fit. They weren't too big. Like Moody used to look like he had on, what's that big, the center's name? I can't even think his name. He used to look like he had on his shorts.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, what? They can't find, you know, shorts that fit. Because somebody could have said, no, son, you're not wearing those. You need everybody's clothes fit last night. Some of it was almost a throwback fit. Like, the shirts was really tight. I don't know if that was the design of the uniform. The shorts were fitting perfectly. I was like, this is like watching Hoosiers. Then they had Big and Lil Country. They got some kid, I think, number 50. I don't know his name, but he the bigger of the two. And then they got a little freshman, 12 or something like that. And he the smaller of the two big countries. Big and little country.
Mm-hmm.
And then they got the little white guy, number two, running the point that, you know, with the nice form shot. I was like, Lord, I'm watching the Hoosiers.
Oh, man.
And then I just want to say, Andy, you know, I like you. You're the cool cat. But that jacket you had on was too little, or you should have unbuttoned that first jacket. Because I was like, Andy, now, you're a slim dude, but he had all three of his buttons. It was a nice little coat, but you could see the buttons was struggling. That top button was like, hold up, wait a minute. Why are we together? Like, can't you just let us be an open foot now? And maybe, I don't know, he might be in the weight room doing too much bench and back. I mean, because that first button, you could tell it was, I was like, Andy, that's too little. Like, why do you have that button?
Let it breathe, man. Let it breathe.
Yes. But, yeah, they're not. The good thing is they're in the SEC, and it's not like, you know, besides Kentucky, it's not going to be people that's, every game should be competitive. But other than that,
what you just described is how every one of their exhibition games have been for years. I mean, they spend the whole first half, you know, playing toe-to-toe with the team. And then the second half, like you said, they wear them down because they are the more superior team. I mean, that's
so I think I'm going to see the girls. In my spirit, I said I was going yesterday, but now it's questionable. I could go, though. I think I'm going to try to go. They play at 7, Mississippi College, which should be a blowout. I just want to see if they have some kind of identity because – in the years past, they didn't. Like, are we going to be a full-court pressing, try to shoot before you get down the court, or shoot a lot of threes team, or are we going to just, you know, move the ball a lot and hope your defense make a mistake team, or I don't know what they are. I don't know what they've tried to do the last 3 years. Have you been able to tell?
It's been a struggle. I mean, and you know, it's been because, you know, the players have just not been to the par that they've needed.
But even when your players not to the par, Brian, you know that.
When
you play a certain team, they're gonna be scrappy. You know, you're gonna say, all right, we know that this team, because of this coach, they're always gonna be scrappy on defense. They're gonna fight you tooth and nail. Like, I couldn't say that about them. I don't ever know what I'm gonna get night in, night out, let alone year in, year out.
Right.
In the last few years or whatever he's been.
Yeah, I understand. I mean, we had some teams when we were there that, you know, you knew what you were gonna get. We might not be able to score with you, but we're gonna try and outplay you.
We're gonna defend and rebound and make you fight for everything. When Carol was here,
right.
Like, you knew that was what was going to happen. Like, it wasn't going to be an easy night. You might wind up winning by a large margin, but you fought to get to your lead. And you knew we was going to, you know, run whatever, get some post touches, whatever. But I just don't know what they're doing. Apparently, they're supposed to have better pieces. They got good guards. I don't understand what he's trying to do with them, though. Because Sessoms is good. The little guard, I can't even think her name, from Chicago is good.
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe these kids, because they kids talking about their friends are good and whatever they reconcile. That's like, that don't mean nothing. You ain't watching enough basketball to know anything, so whatever. But,
I'm going to catch that game as well. I saw that it was going to be on SEC Network Plus, so I'm going to catch it on the internet. Check them out. Paul Allen Dukes is the coach in Mississippi College, longtime coach there. So he'll be it'll be another situation where they'll be a well coached team and they're gonna come in here and, you know, about halftime it'll be over with, I'm sure.
Yeah. So that's the point of exhibition, but I'm still gonna be able to see, like, okay, obviously I know the level of competition you're playing, like, are we gonna have any success? Because, I mean, they picked the finish last, the thing I saw for the SEC thing.
Yeah, I saw that as well.
No surprise.
Yeah. Speaking with college football, the first rankings came out this week for the college football playoffs. Mm-hmm. Alabama, Clemson, Michigan, and Texas A&M. If the playoffs were today, that would be your playoff four. That left out undefeated Washington and one loss Ohio State. I can't say that I wasn't a little bit, you know, stunned to see Texas A&M get in there. Even though they've had a great year, I mean, I felt like I don't know if I feel like Washington should be in there.
But they have a better ranking, they have a better schedule, and the only team they lost to was the number one team.
Right.
Washington don't play a couple of ranked teams, but I mean, all in all.
And like, the Pac-12 is not great, so it's not right, like they're, you know.
And Clemson could have very well been the team that they put out, because Clemson been struggling.
Clemson
has Washington might should have got their spot.
Clemson has had a rough year. As good as their record looks, it could be a lot worse.
So that's really the team that probably Washington should have had their spot, because while you have won and now it's nice that you found a way to win. I mean, some stuff happening with that Florida State game and all, and the field goal missing and all for you to win them. And yes, that's some things that have to happen, but that's who Washington should have took their spot.
I think this is going to be just another gear of the playoff picks changing from week to week.
Oh yeah, that's going to change. Clemson's going to lose. Washington probably is going to lose. Who Texas A&M
play? Texas A&M still has LSU to play, which
so
they
probably going to lose one again. I think. Do we play? Ole Miss plays them.
Yeah.
Do Florida play them too?
I don't know if Florida does.
So, I mean, most of them going to lose. Alabama is like a semi-pro team. I don't really know what's... I need to see all their birth certificates and I need to talk to the staff and see what's going on up there in Tuscaloosa.
Yeah, they definitely...
They're like a semi-pro team. It ain't even fair.
And it's been like that for years. I mean, the way they just stockpile talent is kudos to Coach Saban and his staff that they can do that.
Yeah, because the way you able to talk these kids in the stand, knowing they, like, not stand, because they have to play, but coming to you as 4 and 5 stars, knowing that they're not about to take the person's spot in front of them. You're talking them into, like, oh, just wait your turn. Your time will come. You'll get some championships while you're here. You'll learn and be prepared to go to the next level. Like, I don't really know whatever else they can say, but...
Right. Yes. Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what this playoff thing goes from week to week.
But do you think Alabama and LSU, like, it's always... I mean, that's a rivalry type, so...
I think TV is going to hype it up like it could be a game, but, I mean... I saw what Alabama did to Fournette last year.
They're just gonna shut the run game down, and then they'll just be like, "Oh, I don't know what to do now."
Yeah, I don't imagine Alabama would be like Ole Miss was against Fournette, and I think what he get about 250 on us.
First of all, what is wrong with Ole Miss's run defense?
Arkansas came in and
started running all over the place.
Yeah, I mean. And I'm not going to say these players are not talented who are doing all this, but come on, tackle somebody.
You can be talented, but giving up 50, what? He had like a 60-yard, a 70-yard, like that's...
He had like two.
That's unacceptable.
Two runs like that, which was ridiculous.
He had three big runs that were 50 yards plus, saying like one was 60, one was 70, one was 56, 70, something like that. And then here come Arkansas, and they gave up a bunch of yards again. And I'm like, I haven't been able to do anything but hear the game, but this is like,
Yeah, I mean, it's our defense, and Ole Miss is what I'm speaking of, just has been awful. I mean, it's just, there's no other way around it.
How long you think it's going to take for them to won't freeze his head on a player?
Their fan base, and because I know their fan base well, being a part of it for so long, it won't take long. Especially if the NCAA comes down with any more sanctions, and right. You know that's yet to happen. You know, because they're extending it because of the tonsil situation. But yeah, it won't take long.
What about how long you think that the women's coach? How many years he got left?
I don't know. I know in the state right now, and as far as recruiting, he's getting out recruited bad by Vic Schaefer at Mississippi State, who I'll be seeing here in a couple of weeks. They come down and play Tulane down here at the Coliseum, real close to me. So I'll be going to see them in a couple of weeks.
Because you know, we always said if you beat your rival and win, you know, a marginal round amount of games, but that haven't been happening. And then
if you stay around 500 in the league and can beat your in-state rival each year, you're gonna be fine when you're Ole Miss or Mississippi State. Mississippi State obviously is overdoing that. I mean, they're picked right now to be second in the league, and they're in the nation. They're doing well. They're rising above that, and you're going to have those years where you can. But as far as a Mississippi State or an Ole Miss team, your goal should always be win a recruiting battle in the state, be about 500, you know, obviously you want to aspire to be more than 500, but, you know, be about 500 in the league, and then beat you in state rival. That should be your three goals every year. And for years now, Ole Miss has been on the outside of that.
So I don't know. Good luck. That's how the cookie crumble when you do the wrong thing sometimes. I know you probably thought it was the right thing at the time. But when you do the wrong thing sometimes, it just come back and bite you.
And I think that's going to wrap up our show for today. yeah. So as always, I am your co-host, Brian McKay, and I am with...
T, it's great to be a Florida Gator. Davis.
And this has been the Mac and T Show podcast. Thank you for listening.
This is the Mac and T Show. This is the Mac and T Show. We talk movies and TV shows, sports and world news, coasting like on a world cruise. Hosted by Brian McKay and T Davis. Yeah. You can't tame us. We're going to the top, we're becoming famous.
What time is it?
It's time for the Mac and T Show.
What time is it?
I said it's time for the Mac and T Show.